Power Hour.
It's the what?
Power Hour.
It's the who?
Power Hour.
Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Native.
Power Hour.
It's the what?
Power Hour.
It's the who?
Power Hour. Every Saturday morning, you need to be tuning in. Wake up, get crushed out your eyes. We about to go live, so come get the schooling in. About our oppression, we answer the questions like, how do we get out this low estate? We let the scripts prophesy. We bringing the Bible to life so that you relate. The world thinks we're rejects, but that word we reject. Watch and we'll show you. Precept upon precept, line upon line, the script say with the greatest, and they can't debate it. Salvation is only for the blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power, power, it's the what?
Power, power,
it's the who?
Power, power,
yeah, yeah, blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power, power,
it's the what?
Power, power,
it's the who?
Power, power,
yeah, yeah, blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power, power,
it's the what?
Power, power,
it's the who?
Power, power,
yeah, yeah, blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power, power,
it's the one.
Power, power,
it's the who.
Power, power,
yeah, yeah, blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Hey, shalom, shalom, Most High in Christ bless. Welcome to the Wednesday night edition of the Power Hour, where we discuss Native Latin and Black biblical topics. I'm your host, Captain Amariah, and this week, joining me,
Soldier Raphael.
All right. I am your host that's not doing the most, because the scripture says that you can never go far enough when serving the Lord, right? But we're here nonetheless. All praise to the Most High in Christ that we have another day to get it right and try to really do what it means to serve Him in sincerity and truth. So now, again, it's the Power Hour. So let's get right into it. We don't have much time. As you can see, the topic is Feed Your Faith, Starve Your Fear. Again, that is feed your faith and starve your fear. What are you doing in this walk to do exactly what this title says? Let's get 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Those that have tuned into my lessons know that this is a particular scripture that I have a bit of an infatuation with. All right. One of my favorite scriptures. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5.
This is the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate.
So the Apostle Paul is reminding us, all right, as we take this walk in Christ, every single time we go outside of these four walls, those of us that are actually able to go outside these four walls, right? Because I know a lot of us are stuck at home and we're quarantined. But everything outside of these four walls is designed to keep us in sin. It's designed to keep you in captivity, because Satan doesn't want to give up his seat and his authority. So now, in this walk, I use the analogy a lot of, what's the point of self-examining and seeing that you have the devil on your shoulder when all you do is you take that devil and just take him off and put him on the other shoulder? So you can self-examine all you want, but if there's no application behind that self-examination, then it's void. It makes no sense. You're running the race in vain. It says to prove your own selves, because as much as I would love to vouch for you, I can't on that day. We have to sit in front of the judgment seat alone when the Lord judges. As much as I would like to vouch for many brothers and sisters, we run this race to obtain for our own salvation. We get there collectively, but we get judged individually. It says, except you be reprobates. And here in these last days, in these perilous times, we see a lot of reprobates, a lot of people that are becoming unprofitable to this truth because they couldn't overcome their lust. And rather than feeding their faith and starving their fear, they were doing the exact opposite. They were only being built up to a certain point. For instance, if I eat fast food all week, right, and don't judge me because I know I walked in with a bag of fast food, right, that's different. If I eat fast food all week long, okay, I'm talking about multiple times a day, right, and I'm not hydrating, I'm just eating bad things, drinking bad things, the things that I'm consuming, and then on Tuesday night, let's say, I go to the gym for 30 minutes, 10 of it's stretching at the beginning, 10 of it's stretching at the end. So the 10 in between, I hopped on the elliptical and I burned 46 calories. And then I go home, I'm like, damn, like, what's up? You know, like,
right.
Why is there no change in me? Like, I'm putting work in the gym. Listen, you can't consume all these bad things and then expect good results. It's the same thing with our spirit. There's no way that we can be consuming all the things of the world and expect our spirit to be on fleek with God. It don't work like that.
Right.
That's why it says, blessed is he that readeth. Because when you read, you're actually seeing where you fall short to apply this scripture right here. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. Again, feed your faith, starve your fear. Now, every time I do a lesson, every single time I write a lesson, I do so with myself in mind, because Christ made it very clear to the scribes and the Pharisees when he said that they were hypocrites. And I never want to be a hypocrite in this walk. I'm never going to give somebody counsel or advice that I myself shouldn't take heed to. And I'm never going to give a lesson and say you or you guys or they. No, it's all of us, because we all struggle with something. So let's see what the Lord requires of us in this walk as we continue to feed our faith and starve our fear.
This is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee?
It says, what does the Lord thy God require of thee? Because at one point in time, we all had this question, right? We all came in and we said, okay, listen, I heard that I was Israel from the tribe of Gad, right? Your tribe of Gad. And, right, tribe of Judah. I heard I was Israel from the tribe of Levi, and so on and so forth. So we hear these things and we say, okay, that sounds great. But we didn't know that there was something that was coupled with just knowing. A lot of us love the history. Oh, slave ships. I could see that. That's talking about my people. But we don't like to tie in the laws with those things, because that disciplines you and puts you in a box. So now it's no more getting high. It's no more no more lusting after women and being in a club, doing all these things. So now we say, okay, I like doing those things, but not these things. But someone that's really seeking to feed their faith, they're going to do exactly what the Lord requires of them. Read on.
But to fear the Lord thy God.
So the first thing that God requires of us, it says it's to fear him. Now, this fear is not the COVID-19, let me not go outside, let me wrap my face in other than what the CDC deems necessary to be appropriate as far as proper PPE. But it's talking about the fear of the Lord, which is a healthy fear, because that's the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of being wise and knowing what's required of all of us is that fear of God. Read on.
To walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul.
So now he says to love him, to walk in his ways, and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul. The next verse is going to tell him what it means to serve God with all your heart and soul. Read.
Verse 13. To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good.
You see that? So to love God with all your heart means that you're serving the God in sincerity and truth, and you're keeping his commandments. That's why Christ made it very clear. If ye love me, keep my commandments. There's no gray area with the Lord. So it's either you love him or you hate him. So when he says, if you love me, keep my commandments, if you find an excuse according to your own will and you shun the commandments of the Lord and follow your own lust, then you hate God. That's it. That's why it says in, what is that, in 1 John 2, when it says that he that says I know him and keep it not his commandments is a liar. The Bible is a true book. This is not our words. This is the words of the Lord that we're prophesying to you guys, seeing that these perilous times should do nothing but feed your faith. Your faith should be increased when we have pandemics and epidemics and pestilences going out in the earth. Does it suck? Yeah, we were just talking about it right before we went live. Man, I can't wait for this quarantine to be over.
Right.
To have some kind of normalcy back into our lives. But that doesn't devalue what the scripture says, that those things must happen. So it should put a sense of urgency in you to start getting yourself right. From there, let's go to Psalms 86, verse 11. Because I just made a statement that fear is a healthy fear. It's a good fear. It's a fear that you should pray to the Lord that you never, ever, ever lose, because the Lord doesn't just take something from you and then that's it. He always replaces it with something else. So he can take that spirit that you had that was once zealous for this truth and then replace it with something that's going to become reprobate. Psalms 86, verse 11.
This is the book of Psalms, chapter 86, verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name.
It says, so this is King David in the spirit. He says, teach me thy way. We just read that what's required of us is walking in the ways of the Lord by keeping his commandments. So this is something that David was praying for, but David was born into this truth. He knew he was Israel, but he knew that just like all of us, we're all capable of going left or going right, falling off of that straight and narrow path. So this is something that we should always be praying for. God, listen, teach me your ways. Open up my understanding according to thy precepts. Have me fulfill thy will. It says, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. So letting you know that that fear is not talking about, oh my goodness, what's going on? Because the scripture says, listen, I don't fear man, but I fear God. It says, I don't fear what man will do unto me. But it also says it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So understand that that fear that David is talking about is the fear that we all should be praying for because of this. Psalms 111, verse 10. People will hit me up randomly and then ask me, hey, you know, you got some meat, you know, Cap, or you got some meat, officer, when I was an 80 or a 50 or a 20, whatever. I guess assuming that when you become a certain rank, they put you into a room and they turn the lights and they just give you all these precepts like into your mind. Like, no, that's not how it works, bro. Everything I've obtained is just through studying, applying, and then when I have the opportunity to be around learning men, it's not even necessarily asking questions. It's just being that fly on the wall and listening to the conversations. So when they say, hey, you know, you got something, you got some meat for me? You got something deep? I'd always give them this. Every single time, yeah, bro, I got something heavy for you. I got something real heavy for you. So heavy that 2/3 of the nation of Israel will die because they don't understand this. And then we'll get a little bit later on why it's so important to actually understand this. Read that.
This is the book of Psalms, chapter 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
You see that? It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's that healthy fear. It's that fear that David prayed for. It's that fear that we all should pray for. But it says it's just the beginning of wisdom. It's not the end all of being wise and knowing all things because the scripture is clear. We see through a glass darkly. We're literally at the very tip and cusp of the iceberg right now. Like, you know how like an iceberg comes out of the water and it's like 10% of what you can see. And right. Then 90% of the actual iceberg is actually under the water. Right. Bro, we're at the very tip of the understanding. That's why we have to have the Lord come deliver us from this second Exodus and teach us again face to face. And it's going to be so heavy, bro. It's going to be like this long class. And we'll be like, man, this is crazy. Hands cramping, right? And taking notes like, oh, my goodness. Heavy, heavy, right? And then all he's going to go over is this right here. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth.
Right.
And we'll be like, oh, my goodness, mind's blown. But that's how it's going to be. It says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever.
A good understanding of what this Bible says means that you have to be applying the commandments of the Lord. You have to be applying the things. Real quick, hold on. Let me see if I have it written down. I don't. Let me get Psalms 119 and verse 60. Psalms 119, verse 60. This is how we should all be. Not just for those that are just coming in and seeking wisdom, but those that have been in for a while, and then they start to backslide against the Lord and his commandments. Read that.
This is the book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse 60. I made haste and delay not to keep thy commandments.
Because you don't know when that supposition of grace will run out. Because that's all grace is a time period. So when you think on your ways, when you understand the Lord is very severe in his punishments, and his punishments are just, we were just talking about that just this last Sabbath, right? We understand that all these things are just with the Lord. Once you start to backslide and you self-examine, then you got to make haste and delay not, because tomorrow's not promised, and you don't know when the Lord's going to call you back home. And the question is, if you get called home right now, did you do enough? And if your answer is yes, then you've deceived your own self and the truth is not in you, because the scripture says we all have sin. That's why the righteous shall scarcely be saved. You'll never know how much you did or if you did enough until that day. Don't rest on the things that you did in the past. From there, let's go to Sirach 21 and verse 11. Sirach, which I like to call the Proverbs of the Apocrypha, chapter 21 and verse 11.
This is the book of Sirach, chapter 21, verse 11. He that keepeth the law of the Lord getteth the understanding thereof, and the perfection of the fear of the Lord is wisdom.
So again, we're seeking that wisdom. We're seeking to feed our faith. So in order to feed your faith, you have to do what the Bible commands you to do. It's very difficult to do what the Lord requires of you 24/7, 365, because we're so inundated in what Esau pushes into us. Everything, when we turn the radio, we have the music. When we turn on the TV, we have the different programming stations. That's why it's called programming. It's designed to program you to think a certain way, to act a certain way, to dress a certain way, to talk a certain way. But if you're seeking to feed your faith and starving your fear, then you're going to put these things first. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you can't do things that you enjoy doing. All right? People will get ignorant. Oh, my God. Now, I was like that when I first came in. I said, man, all this is wicked. So I literally just turned off my TV and didn't turn back on for like 5 years. But I did that knowing myself.
Right.
And I said, you know what, man? Let me just turn this stuff off and then let me just not seek these things. And I was so focused on everything else, I was too busy for it anyways. It wasn't until a couple years ago, I was like, oh, you know what? I have a little more free time. Let me turn on the game.
Right.
But if that ever comes before seeking the Lord and feeding my faith first, then that's when it becomes a sin. But read that again.
This is the book of Sirach, chapter 21, verse 11. He that keepeth the law of the Lord getteth understanding thereof.
You get the understanding of what the scriptures are saying by keeping the law. That's very clear. That's a very, very clear precept for Psalms 111, verse 10. If you want to understand why Christianity and Catholicism and every other organized religion on earth doesn't understand the Bible, it's because they don't keep the law thereof. That's why. They don't apply the dietary laws, but instead they say, oh, just pray over it. It's all clean in Christ Jesus. What scripture is that? If that's the case, then how come after Christ already died and resurrected in Acts 10, he said, no, Peter said, no, Lord, I've never eaten anything common or unclean. Why would he still be keeping the dietary law if it's all clean in Christ Jesus? Let you know that because they keep no commandments. They don't keep commandment one that they have no understanding thereof. Read on.
And the perfection of the fear of the Lord is wisdom.
And the perfection of the fear of the Lord. Get Matthew 5 and verse 48 real quick. This just popped into my head. Matthew 5 verse 48. Because a Christian will use the excuse of, well, nobody's perfect, as an excuse to stay in sin,
right?
If you are not perfect in something, that doesn't mean that you don't continue to rehearse those righteous acts to try and achieve that perfection, right? Be known as the best basketball player on the earth. But if you never got the chip, then you're still striving. You're not okay with being content with being known as the best. If you never won a championship, you're still striving for some type of reward. But read that.
This is the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect.
It says, be ye therefore perfect. Now, I don't know about yours, but mine is written in red, letting me know that this is Christ's words.
Right.
So if Christ had no guile in him and he was found faultless and sinless to become the ultimate sacrifice, that means that he's unable to lie. So when he says that you could be perfect, back here in Sirach 21 verse 11, it says, and the perfection of the fear of the Lord is wisdom. It's letting you know that perfection could be achieved, but you got to discipline yourself and stop all these lustful things that are going inside of you and start starving those things. When I say starve your fear, I'm not talking about starving your fear of God, because that's a healthy fear. The fear that you should be starving is all the things that you're going to lose that pertain to this world, to this walk. All these things that you may lose according to what this kingdom says is the epitome of perfection. Starve that type of fear of what reward that, that your oppressor said that, that you can achieve. From there, let's go to Baruch 3, verse 9. Baruch 3 and verse 9.
Book of Baruch, chapter 3, verse 9. Israel, the commandments of life. Give ear to understand wisdom.
So now, we keep talking about this word wisdom. Wisdom. We should all be seeking wisdom because there's a big difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is just when you know something. Wisdom is the application thereof. If you've now been in this walk for a supposition of time and you've gone through trials and tribulations, or if you haven't, guess what? You will, because Paul said through much tribulation we get the kingdom of heaven. He's also not a liar. He was a hand chosen vessel of Christ. But it says, "Hear Israel, the commandments of life." It's these commandments that give you life. Jump over to verse chapter 4, verse 1.
This is the book of Baruch, chapter 4, verse 1. This is the book of the commandments of God, and the law that endureth forever. All that keep it shall come to life, but such as leave it shall die.
This is the book of the commandments of God. When you read in Hebrews, the 9th chapter and the 19th verse, it tells you that the precepts are laws. So it's not just thou shalt and thus saith, means that it's a law. Everything that's written is a law. Now, people try to narrow it down and say, oh, there's over 613 commandments or whatever the case may be. No, this is the book of the commandments of God. It says the law that endureth for how long?
The law that endureth forever.
So if this was written thousands of years ago, that means that these laws are still enduring. If they're written tomorrow, that means that they will still endure forever after that. And it never stops. These are the laws that endure forever. Read on.
Turn thee, O Jacob.
No, read on. All they that keep it.
All they that keep it shall come to life, but such as leave it shall die.
So now go back to chapter 3 and verse 9 again.
Baruch, chapter 3, verse 9. Hear, Israel, the commandments of life. Give ear to understand wisdom.
It says to the commandments of life. In chapter 4, verse 1, it tells you that you keep these laws, that's how you come to life. Proverbs tells you that if you don't keep them, then you'll remain in the congregation of the dead. You're not physically dead, but you're spiritually dead because you're not applying the things that give you life, that give you the chance to obtain that salvation that we so earnestly, desperately covet after. Otherwise, then what's the point of even being on these classes? What's the point of just even kind of even being tiptoeing in this truth? You can't be one toe in the truth and one foot in the world. It doesn't work like that. Salvation is not obtained that way, but it says, give ear to understand wisdom, letting you know that many people are going to hear this, but they'll never be able to understand it.
Right.
That's what makes feeding your faith and starving your fear different. If you're giving ear to understand, then you're seeking the things that the Lord requires of you to be built up in the faith. And if you're starving your fear, then you're starving the things that the body so naturally covets after. That's why it says the spirit and the flesh, they are contrary and they war against each other. I would be a liar if I said that I didn't go out on a daily basis to work and do whatever, and some type of temptation doesn't come into me. I would be a liar. It's something, especially being from here, literally like locally to this area, right. High school and junior high and everything else. There's songs I hear or there's things I see that provoke some type of memory. But if I'm seeking to understand wisdom, then I'm going to suppress those things and continue to feed my faith instead. That's where that self-examination comes in, and that's why it's so heavy. Stay in Baruch. Jump down to verse 4, chapter 4, verse 4.
Baruch, chapter 4, and verse 4. O Israel, happy are we, for things that are pleasing to God are made known unto us.
You see that? It says, happy are we, for the things that are pleasing unto God are made known unto us. The scripture is very clear. Many are called, but few are chosen. So you should be happy and you should rejoice in knowing that the Lord made these things unto you, knowing that somebody that's walking by camp and all they look at is a camp sign that says 12 tribes of Israel, and then they see blacks, Hispanics, and natives on there. That could be the only thing that the Lord gives them. That could have been that moment of mercy when they're walking by and they say, hey, brother, what's your nationality? Oh, I'm black. Oh, you ain't black. You're an Israelite. Oh, okay, that's cool, whatever. That could be the only bit of mercy the Lord gave them to wake up, because they were always destined to be part of that two-thirds club. So when it says again, read it again.
Oh, Israel, happy are we.
So you should be happy and rejoice every day when you have breath in your lungs. You're able to face the east and give thanks to the Lord that you woke up and you're able to strive and serve him once again. You should be happy and rejoice in that. Read.
For things that are pleasing to God are made known unto us.
The things that are pleasing to God are the things that we had just read earlier. The things that are pleasing to him are us keeping his commandments in sincerity and truth. That's why 1 John 5 says, this is the love of God, right? That we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. It shouldn't be a grievous thing like, oh, man, damn. Again? Damn. I have things to do. People to see. Like, oh my goodness, again? Like, okay, let me make sure I get this shirt fringed, or let me make sure that this dress is long enough. These things should not be grievous, but we should rejoice in knowing that a small remnant of people are actually going to understand these things. Read on.
Be of good cheer, my people, the memorial of Israel.
Read.
Yea, we were sold to the nations, not for your destruction, but because ye moved God to wrath. Yea, we delivered unto the enemies.
It says, be of good cheer, my people, the memorial of Israel. Be of good cheer. Now, it's very difficult to go through your every single day life and always be joyous and happy. Listen, we all go through things, all right? We all have our trials, our tribulations, things that bring our spirit down. But what this is reminding of us is, we were still showed those things that were pleasing unto God. So why wouldn't you rejoice in that and not lift yourself up and say, damn, you know what? Okay, I'm going through it, but this is only going to be for a supposition of time. Because the Lord says, cast all things upon me, for I care it for you. Gold must be tried in that furnace of adversity to be found worthy of the kingdom of heaven. Read verse 7.
Verse 7. For ye provoked him that made you by sacrificing unto devils and not to God.
So the way our people sacrifice unto devils unto this day now was doing all those other things contrary to what God said. God said don't eat pork. Our people say, no, it's the new white meat. Our God says don't celebrate these wicked pagan holidays. We say, well, no, you know what? It's your tradition that we've always kept. I've had people tell me literally recently, they said, well, I only keep that because I know that my mom's going to be pissed if I don't. And I'm like, damn. So that's where the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's someone that has no ounce of fear of God, because they've been taught that God is all hugs and kisses and roses and lollipops, and not that he's a terrible, dreadful God when it comes to the wrath that he puts out, which is, again, just and worthy, because he tells you, hey, the wages of sin is death. And as much as we like to think that it's going to just be a fainting and that's it. No, it's going to be a terrible, painful death. It's because of those things for all of us, and for starting that fear and not feeding our faith is why we're going to suffer the things of the Baruch. Let's go to chapter 3, verse 33. Here's why it says, happy are ye, O Israel. Here's why we should be happy and rejoice. Verse 33.
This book of Baruch, chapter 3, verse 33. He that sendeth forth light, and it goeth, calleth it again, and it obeyeth him with fear.
So the he that sendeth forth light is the Most High. He's the one that created and ordained everything. All right. He created Christ first, and Christ was the Most High to create everything else. So it's the Lord that sendeth forth light, right? But it says that light, it goeth, calleth it again, and it does what? It obeyeth what?
And it obeyeth him with fear.
You see that? The light obeys God with fear. So every morning when you wake up and that sun's coming up, know for a surety that that light is shining, fearing God. So how much the more those of us that were, this whole planet was made for us, that light was created for us. How much that more should we not also fear God? This is the light fears God. But then we, as a people, I don't know. That's the white man's book. The ignorant statements that we can make just so easily. Oh, no, you know what? I don't believe in God because when I was 9 years old, this happened. It's like, it's easy for us that are somewhat rooted in this to say, listen, just get over it. Right? I'm not going to tell you that you can't feel some type of way, but you're going to let that weigh on your spirit for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. It says the light fears God and the world was created for your sakes. How much the more should you be fearing God everything you do? That's a big thing in Christianity, right? They had little bracelets that say it.
Right.
What would Jesus do? Bumpers, stickers. What would Jesus do? License plates. They have it at like sporting events. What would Jesus do? But the real question in this walk, if you're actually self-examining and you're trying to feed your faith, what would Jesus do? That actually is the true question. If he left us the example to be, for us to emulate, to try and strive for that salvation, what would Jesus be doing to obtain that? Would he be getting up and would he not be praying? Or would he be praying first? Would he be going to bed and not praying? Or would he be praying first? Would he see things that's